listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabriel Owens and Alan Young.
Welcome to Outside the Cage. I'm your host, Gabriel Owens. With me, as always, my co-host, Alan Young. Say hi, Alan.
Hi, Alan.
We're here to talk about all the latest news in mixed martial arts. And I would like to talk a couple of things about wrestling, but we don't have any wrestling people here, so wouldn't do you any good.
So you can talk and I'll go to the bathroom or something.
Just talk by myself. Sure. Yeah, I guess, well, with the last card, probably the biggest deal was the UFC 132. But I think even the bigger story is before that, the Nate Marquardt situation came out. He was supposed to fight. Who was he supposed to fight in Philly?
Rick Story.
Let's fight Rick Story. But the story here was Nate Marquardt forced to pull out due to problems with his testosterone replacement therapy and the levels thereof being too high.
Right.
Pissed off Dana White to a degree that he got fired.
Yeah. Go from top contender to fired overnight.
This will happen.
Well, that's what happens when you blow the main event of a card on the day before the card.
I think this is Dana sending a message about this whole, I mean, Chael Sonnen before this, and apparently there's a few other guys on using this that haven't been in trouble. Dan Henderson, Todd Duffy, who doesn't look like he's lacking testosterone whatsoever. But Chael was, you know, back, the big story was last year, you know, Chael was doing it, but he wasn't really telling commissions, though he said he was. And he got busted for elevated levels of testosterone in his title fight with Anderson Silva. Mm-hmm. And now Nate Marquardt, who apparently has had problems. I think he's been actually busted for straight steroids before, if I'm correct.
I believe that's correct.
So,
which is probably
why he's
on the testosterone replacement to begin with, because he screwed up his natural systems and
that's right, kid.
Producing what he needs to.
That's right, kids. Just remember, if you want to get on the steroids, it's hard to get off because it'll screw you up. Especially long periods of use, it's hard to have kids. You know, if you try to go cold turkey, you know, you lose, kind of become a woman. Your body stops. Your body stops producing it naturally. It's so used to relying on artificial.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make the man juice anymore.
Your balls shrink and your boobs grow.
Go back into pro wrestling, the Chris Benoit situation. He was also on, you know, at the time WWE had instituted a an actual drug policy, and he had an exemption because he had been heavily abusing steroids for so long, he could no longer naturally produce testosterone, and he was on the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't testing him like to a 1-to-1 ratio. They were just saying, well, he has an exemption, he can just, his levels can be as high as he wants them to be.
Uh-huh.
And I think he had a 60-to-1 epi to regular testosterone levels, which even
whereas 6-to-1 is allowable.
I think it's 4-to-1. I don't think it's
4-to-1.
I think Olympics allows 6-to-1. Normal, about everyone else allows 4, which is still ridiculously high. Normal people have 1-to-1.
Right.
Your really high level athletes may have 2-to-3-to-1, and they allow 4 just for, you know, the freaks.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at any rate, it's the second time. Apparently Nate was also a little trouble in his last fight before that with Jim Miller in New Jersey. They were having kind of the same issues, but Jersey ended up allowing it because he tested day of 1-to-1 or close enough to it. But it still goes and imagine, well, obviously he was training at a higher testosterone level, which I think anybody and your mother would say is still cheating.
Yeah.
So it's not supposed to be used for you can't use it in training and then to say, well, as long as my levels are down by fight time, I should be fine. It's still you're still using a PED for training purposes, which is cheating. So, you know, if you're going to be on this, you know, the commission should be testing you throughout training and making sure you're maintaining a one-to-one or close enough to level.
And Nevada is about to start doing random tests during training.
They keep saying all these they want to do this.
They've talked about that.
They were doing testing main eventers outside of the fights, but they're finding it's really expensive. That's the problem comes down. It's not that they don't want to do it. I think it's coming down to cost.
Yeah.
And when you're fighting in these smaller states, California, Nevada, New Jersey, these are big fight states. They have more money, and even they're having trouble paying to do all this.
Right.
The smaller states aren't going to do it. You know, you're like some of them. It's lucky to get a test out of them. You know, the UFC had to remind Texas to test their fighters because they showed up one time and they didn't get tested. Texas just forgot to do it, and that's why Texas is the biggest joke of any athletic commission in the country, just about.
Mm-hmm.
Other than possibly West Virginia, who allowed an HIV positive boxer to fight. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
So that's that story. Speaking of Chael Sonnen, he is apparently now fighting Brian Stann after a bizarre campaign of trying to fight any random Brazilian who would fight him. He's trying to trying to pick a fight with the entire country of Brazil, which is kind of funny. Did you see? Go ahead.
I was going to say Brian Stann versus Chael Sonnen should be a good number one contender bout.
I don't even think I put Brian that high, but, I mean, definitely he's in the mix.
Well, if he can beat Chael Sonnen, I would.
He's high in the mix.
He's high in the mix,
For those people who hate the term in the mix, sorry. Dana loves it, so we're going to use it.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. He can get the knockout. Chael's hard to knock out, though. Anderson couldn't do it.
Right.
You know, I favor Chael in the fight just for that reason. Even if Brian gets in on him, and God knows Brian hits hard, he knocked out Chris Lieben, who's only been knocked out by Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, but he has that shot. But I'd favor. Yeah,
well, it's basically a classic brawler, you know, striker versus grappler, which favors the grappler.
Right, and I don't think Stan...
Sonnen is an elite grappler at that.
He is. I don't think Stan has the jiu-jitsu on the ground to pull a Filo or a Sonnen out. Or any of the other guys who have... Or any of the other guys who have pulled a submission out on Chael Sonnen. He's lost quite a few fights, by the way. Often screaming in pain very comically. Hopefully he doesn't pull a Filo in general, because, you know, we'll probably never see Stan again.
He's talking to somebody who's not there.
It's it's entertainment value at any rate. if the fight wasn't so, their second fight wasn't so completely terrible otherwise.
Right.
But he was. Did you see his interview with Ariel Helwani, Chael Sonnen?
I have not watched that. Now.
Oh, you need to watch that.
But we spoke to Vanderlei on Wednesday, and we asked him about you, and he said that, obviously not a big fan of yours, he said that he wants you next, and when you do meet, his quote was, he will kill you, and he will kill you fast. I'm wondering if you saw that interview, and what do you think of him saying that?
Vanderlei, you are an immigrant from Brazil. I am a gangster from America. Are you sure you want to play that game with me? Listen, Vanderlei, I will do a home invasion on you. I will cut the power to your house, and the next thing you hear will be me climbing up your stairs in a pair of night vision goggles I bought in the back of Soldier Fortune magazine. I'll pick the lock to the master room door, take a picture of you in bed with the Nogueira brothers working on your jiu-jitsu. I'll take said photograph, post it at www.dorksfrombrazil.com. Password, not required. Username, not required. That, Vanderlei, is how you threaten somebody, dummy. Here's what all that needs to be done with Vanderlei. It's as simple as this. Take a contract that says Vanderlei versus Chael Sonnen and have him sign that with your cameras rolling. He won't do it. Wouldn't fight Brian Stann? Wouldn't fight Vitor Belfort? barely agreed to fight Chris Leben, and he loves to talk tough, and I understand it, and we're in that business. But if we're being fair, take him a contract that puts him opposite of me, put a pin in his hand, roll the camera, and he will not sign it.
Why not?
Because he's scared and he sucks.
Anyway, just go watch it. It's an amazing, you know, Chael in full form.
Mm-hmm.
If you like that sort of thing, which I do.
Yeah.
But UFC 132, your main event, saw Cruz defend successfully against Uriah Faber. 5-round decision. Very, very close fight. I really don't think you can argue it was that close, though. Brandon definitely won.
Yeah.
But it was super competitive.
It was.
I had it 48-47.
I don't have notes, so I don't remember what I judged it, but I do know that it was a good decision.
Yeah, Brandon was, he used odd angles.
Who's Brandon?
Brandon Cruz.
How about Dominic Cruz?
Dominic Cruz. Who's Brandon Cruz? It happens when I don't have notes.
I don't know.
There's a Brandon Cruz that fights. I can't remember.
I'm looking at someone else's notes.
That's good. So, it was a very good fight. I gave first round to Uriah, and I think the third for the knockdowns. But one judge had it 50-45, which I don't understand. At least one of those two rounds should have been on any. Well, everyone else's card. At least one of those two rounds went to Uriah.
Yeah,
Uriah did have another knockdown in the second. However, Cruz dominated otherwise, and I think the takedowns and everything else he did in the round overcame the one knockdown. So I had a 48-47. I said if you're just a big fan of knockdowns count more than anything else, you know, you could get. I guess it's about the only way you could really give the fight to Uriah.
Right.
And the other big news out of that one, Tito Ortiz coming back from the brink of forced retirement to beat top contender Ryan Bader. Guillotine choke first round after a short uppercut knocked him out, knocked him to the ground.
It was quite impressive.
That was, unexpected by everybody, I think.
Yeah, Ryan Bader being considered near the top of the division, and Tito came in after not having a win since 2006?
Yes, last win was against Ken Shamrock.
That's a long losing streak there. I guess he didn't actually have that many fights in between there, but
no, he had a draw with Rashad. Well, but he had a draw with Rashad, who's facing next. We'll talk about that. And he had a loss to Lyoto Machida, and a loss to Forrest Griffin. And before that, before the Ken Shamrock fights, he beat Forrest Griffin.
Right.
And he lost to Chuck in there too.
Was the third one in there?
When he came back the first time, he beat Forrest, beat Ken twice, lost to Chuck, drew with Rashad, lost to Lyoto, then lost to my Hamill and Forrest Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
So it really wasn't like he just was on this humongous streak of losing. You know, he had a draw in there and a couple long layoff periods, and he lost to, you know, top guys.
Yeah.
Except Matt Hamill. The Matt Hamill one was kind of his, the coffin nail. Is like, you know, if he can beat anybody, he should be able to beat Matt Hamill. But he couldn't.
Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So he's, well, he's taken the rematch against Rashad on short notice in less than a month, which is after what's his name was injured.
Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah, here.
Not Paul Orndorff.
Phil Davis.
Yeah.
The
other Mr. Wonderful.
Right. Phil Davis was injured. Was supposed to be against Rashad as the main event of 133. Is that the next one?
Yes.
And got injured.
Hmm? Yeah, both those fighters have been replaced, and Vladimir Matyushenko is supposed to fight another card. He has also had to been replaced by Matt Hamill.
Right. So the...
Amazing, once the UFC gave all these guys insurance, they sure do pull off fights a lot more often.
Yeah.
Amazing how that works.
Yeah. So the first runner-up was supposed to be Machida. He asked for too much money. He asked for, apparently...
Anderson Silva money is what they
said. Anderson Silva money. And Dana said, ha ha, no, you don't deserve that. So he apparently came to a deal with Tito as the second choice.
He said Tito did not ask for more money.
Yeah.
For whatever that's worth. So Tito took it on short notice. And it's a guy, you know, a lot of people thought he beat Rashad in the first fight. The draw was due to, you know, him grabbing the fence in the second round and, getting a point deducted, which pretty much caused the draw. And I, without the point deduction, I could see the second fight going the same way. I think Tito, on paper, is a bad matchup for Rashad, you know, just because Rashad's probably the better wrestler, but Tito's a lot bigger. You know,
right.
Rashad could fight at 185 pretty easy. He's a small, light heavyweight.
Right.
Tito uses his wrestling and his size to negate him for the first two rounds like he did in the first fight and get the takedowns. Mm-hmm. And then get tired, as Tito seems to always do in the third round, and, you know, probably lose the third round. He went at 29-28. That's kind of how I see it going out, but, you know, a lot of factors come into this. Rashad's coming off a year and a half layoff. Tito's turning around and fighting again without, you know, it was a short fight, but he has to come back and, you know, he doesn't get a chance to peak again.
Right.
A lot of factors going into this. It makes it a lot interesting. I think the trash talk is about to start heating up between the two.
But basically, career-wise, Tito has nothing to lose by taking the fight on short notice.
Dana said.
If he loses the fight, then, you know, he took it on less than a month notice and didn't have time to adequately prepare, so that's not really a knock against him. If he wins, then beat the number one contender.
Dana flat out said yesterday he's not counting us against Tito if he loses.
Yeah.
So there you go. And if he wins, he's in the mix. He goes from in a month from being on the verge of retirement to title contender. It's just amazing.
Yeah. So we'll see. It'll be interesting.
Also on this card, Melvin Guillard. Continuing a very hot streak under Greg Jackson, looking like the killer we all knew he had the potential to be. Very freak athleticism. Just a great knockout. It was on one of the two knockouts on the Spike prelims. I always wonder when, like, you have a really great prelims on Spike that, you know, how much that figures into last minute buys, but we'll see in the next couple of weeks. But they have two knockouts on the Spike prelims. The whole card was awesome. A few stinkers. One that shouldn't have been. Bowles versus Takeya Mizuzaki. Should have been a barn burner, which is kind of a boring fight.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I heard Bowles interviewed on the Sure Dog Network, and he was saying, basically we went in there with the same game plan, and neither one of us knew what to do, and the other guy had the exact same game plan, so
it ended just up kind of being an stalemate.
Ugly fight. Yeah, it ended up being an ugly fight, and like, yeah, I'm sorry about that, but like, we really, like, I didn't know how to adjust, and apparently neither did he. and plus he thought he broke his hand, so that probably hampered him a bit for the fight.
Right.
Who else is on this card? Since you're looking at notes.
Rafael Dos Anjos, however you pronounce that, versus George Sotiropoulos was the other
knockout.
KO, other knockout on the Spike prelims.
And then here's the opposite of Tito, the guy that went from the verge of a title shot to now looking at two losses in a row.
Yeah.
Just like Bader, actually. Bader's 0-2 right now also.
So, right.
Two guys that went from... top of the magical mix to looking at two in a row losses. Sucks, you know?
Yeah.
One more loss usually means you're up.
Yeah, that's possible. It's all very subjective, though. It just depends on how the fights go, how good you look in the fight, how exciting the fight is.
Yeah, Joe Daddy hung on for a long time because he was losing but having exciting losses. But I didn't hear if he got cut or not, but I know he lost his last. And he's had a lot of losses, I think, three or four in a row now at this point, plus many others where he was one, lost one for a long time.
Right.
And he's a former, you know, obviously tough winner and a former title contender. Of course, he got brutally stomped by BJ Penn, but
right,
he did contend for the title. So I don't know. So the future of Joe Daddy, he may have peaked early in his life. One of those kids that started fighting really young in life. So,
and was that his featherweight debut that he just lost?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Whereas Kenny Florian won his featherweight debut.
He did.
Which puts him
in the mix.
In the mix for the featherweight title.
Oh, they're all in the mix.
Because he's long been a top contender at lightweight.
55. Yeah.
Had, what, two shots of the title and lost them both?
Shirk and BJS.
Right.
It was the... Well, the Shirk fight was for the standing the title back up, I believe.
Right. And then, making title.
Well, there was no title. Like, there wasn't any title to speak of. Like, they just reinstituted the 155 after, like, 3 years of not having one.
Oh.
3 or 4 years.
Is it that far back?
Well, no. They had a period of... They didn't have a 155 title. After the draw between Cal Uno and BJ Penn, and then BJ walked away from the company, that they just dropped the title for like 3 or 4 years.
Okay. I was thinking it was more recent than that, but maybe you're right.
At any rate, he'll definitely give me one more fight at 145 where he fights for a title, because he's still getting his body used to the size.
Right. And
Jose Aldo's nobody you want to go into less than the best. Prepared.
Yeah. And he looked fairly emaciated when he fought.
Yeah, but his cardio didn't look bad.
No. He just looked like a...
He's a really skinny dude.
Yeah.
The only man to fight in 4 weight classes.
Yeah. That's a long way to go.
True.
That he did the fight. He looked good at 145, and so.
Well, there's a lot of going on. They're looking. It sounds like UFC is signing a bunch of 125ers. So by the end of the year, we're probably looking at what do you call it? A 125 division. Flyweight.
Flyweight. I didn't know they'd actually started signing fighters.
That is the word.
The word.
So, see a lot of Mexicans and Japanese in our future.
The bird is the word.
The bird is the word. Probably Chuck Liddell's bitch. What's his name?
Tito?
No, his little assistant guy that fights. It's like 5'2". Like I think he fights at 135 right now. Or I think he fought in WEC at 135. I don't know if he fights in UFC, but
I don't know who you're talking about.
He fought in WEC. He trains at the Pit, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, his claim to fame is he is Chuck Liddell's assistant and live-in kind of manservant.
Okay.
He's a really really tiny dude.
Chuck carries him in his pocket.
Just about.
But yeah, once, you know, we're seeing a lot of fighters drop weight classes now that the UFC is expanding that division. Got lightweights dropping to featherweight, featherweights dropping to bantamweight. I guess we're going to see bantamweights dropping to flyweight.
Yeah, we'll see if maybe Yura Faber. Drop one more down.
You don't know.
Maybe we'll see Kenny Florian drop to 135. He'll just keep going down.
Just be a pile of bones wrapped in a translucent layer of skin fighting.
So he's like, I'm tired. He's like, I'll be the one guy that went from 185 to 135. what's going on? It's up in MMA news.
I suppose we should mention the UFC on Versus, the main event, the ridiculous comeback by Czech Congo.
Ah, yes. Or he was knocked down his feet about twice. And
yeah, and it could have been stopped by the ref at any time there.
Well, the ref, it was Mergliata, wasn't it? Or was it
I don't recall.
Mergliata or Rosenthal? I think it was Mergliata. Yeah, he had his hands on him about to stop it and, like, pulled away, like, said, okay, he's okay. And then Czech Kano got up, and he proved him right. He got up and knocked the other guy out. So
he barely, on the brink of consciousness, flailing wildly, just caught Pat Barry just right.
He got him with two shots. It was a short hook and an uppercut.
Was it two shots?
Yeah.
Okay.
Staggered him with the first punch, and then caught him, then finished him with the uppercut.
Maybe it was a little more coherent than I thought, but at any rate, it was a remarkable comeback, and Pat Barry went down like a bag of bricks, flat on his back, twitching, eyes open, looked like a corpse, basically.
Yeah, it was one of those awesome moments, in MMA history.
Just a remarkable comeback.
Last show that unfortunately got deleted. We talked about the Showtime show. Not for good. Barnett beat Brett Rogers fairly quickly.
Yes.
We'll move on.
Brett Rogers has been arrested for, domestic assault?
Did he? I did not hear this.
He did not hear this. Yes. He was arrested and released from Strikeforce.
No, I missed this whole story. Was I in Arkansas during this?
I don't know.
Oh. Back to Walmart Tire Center for him. And Alistair Overeem beat Verdum in a very boring fight that made little sense.
And, since we never got around to talking about that, the thing, as I recall, fuzzily at this point... It was a boring fight. Verdum kept dropping to his back, begging Overeem to come down, and Overeem said, no, I'm not going to do it, and it just ended up with long stretches of Verdum laying on his back. It was a dumb fight, and, the third round, Overeem won the first two rounds by virtue of not laying on his back. Third round, I actually gave, and I think one of the judges may have agreed, I actually gave the third round to
Verdum.
Verdum, because he was actually starting to stand up and actually doing pretty well in the stand-up.
He was outboxing him in the third round. So it's like his game plan seemed very bizarre at that point.
Yeah, so, me screaming at the TV, why aren't you doing that the first two rounds? You could have won the fight.
Both guys, and, Alistair got very tired very quickly.
Yeah, he did.
You wonder if all that muscles, all this talk of him being the next great heavyweight, maybe premature.
Yeah, well, what's the next round of the Strike Force? Is it Overeem versus...
Matt's Bigfoot? That was Barnett.
Oh, right.
Barnett and Bigfoot, so it'd be Verdun. No. Maybe Barnett and Bigfoot, so it'll be Overeem and I think the Russian. His name I can't remember. I got that backwards. I think the next fight's Overeem and Bigfoot, and then Barnett and the Russian.
Antonio versus Overeem. And Karnatov versus Barnett.
Karnatov, that's how they say it anyway.
Karnatov. So I, based on how bad Overeem looked in that fight and how good Silva looked in his fight against Fedor, I would predict actually that Bigfoot would beat Overeem, and thus.
I think he's going to kill him, actually.
Yeah.
Bigfoot's been looking great lately.
Yeah, and thus end up with a nice paper champion in Strikeforce.
For as long as Strikeforce is around.
Well, probably through 2012 anyway. I think we determined that. But,
Yeah, new season, Tough finished, filming.
Has it? Allegedly, it's the craziest season yet, but they say that every season.
Bisping, as soon as he got done filming, twittered, I can't say much right now, but I will say, Mayhem Miller is an immature asshole.
That seems about right.
So, I suspect hijinks will ensue.
Yeah.
So, and Mayhem seems pretty pumped about it, but it is his season, so he's going to say that. He's not going to come out and say, yeah, my season sucks, dude. Sorry about that, guys. But I think that's about it. That's just a quick news show. I'll try to get at some point get back on track and try to start covering these after the big events. What's our next one? Another 3 weeks till 133?
Something like that.
We'll try to be back the week after that, run down that card, and cover whatever the latest is going on in MMA news. Anything to add, Alan?
No.
All right, that's it from here on Radio Free Cybertron Network. We'll see you outside the cage.
You've been listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabriel Owens and Alan Young. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Outside the Cage is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.